We will have no other king but King Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Of course, you've already seen how technology can fail you. Outside where the musket didn't fire. And of course, we all know that in the day, the musket not firing actually happened very frequently, and that's why they carried a bayonet and a tomahawk. And if necessary, they actually would use this musket as a club. Because about that time, that's about all it'd be good for. You've already stood for the reading of God's Word once, and I won't have you stand again. Although I do tell you, no matter where I speak across this country, no matter whether it's an outdoor event that's been hosted by a Tea Party group or a political group or whatever, I've even spoken in front of the American Atheist Association, and I asked them to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word that they don't believe in. When you're as big as I am, I guess you can get away with a lot of things. In Acts chapter 5 at verse 29, "Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, 'We ought rather to obey God rather than man.'" Let me read that again. "Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, 'We ought rather to obey God rather than man.'" And please, if you take nothing else away from the presentation that I'm making to you today, take this away. That is not a statement of rebellion. It is a statement of utmost obedience to who we owe our obedience first and foremost to. Here we are, Independence Day, AD, who knows what that is, Anno Domini, year of our Lord. It's on all of our documents, by the way, for all of those naysayers that say we have no Christian heritage in America. That is a lie from hell. It is totally false. And I spend my life disproving that. We're 239 years of age. And American independence, I want you to know, was not inevitable. It did not happen overnight. It was a hard-won victory and a very difficult struggle. And they learned, as we should, that it would become really Happy Total Dependence Day. Happy Total Dependence Day, because looking to Almighty God for everything. And if you've ever had a day where you were not in that frame of mind, today certainly for our country is a day that we are going to have to put total dependence on the Lord God Almighty. And by the way, the Lord God Almighty is the one that is defined in what book? The Holy Bible, right here. There are people that don't think that America has any biblical foundation. That also is patently ridiculous. And by the way, I'm not here to sell you anything, not here to be politically correct. I don't know how to do that. Well, maybe I know how to, but I just won't. And the issue is because I do not like a lot of the things that are happening in this country right now, but I love this country and I love the original intent of this country. And if anyone comes up to me and they are a naysayer, they're going to get, well, they're going to get what they get. And it won't be pleasant. Psalm 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Psalm 127:1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Proverbs 29:2, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The founders and the framers of this country did not pull these documents out of thin air. Things, for example, like the Declaration of American Independence, they didn't pull them out of thin air. They prayed and sought the face of the Lord. They knew history of the world. They knew not only history of the world, but they knew the Bible and read it in many different translations. And so they did not pull these documents out of thin air the way some people would say, oh, we get together in a convention and whatever we come up with is just fine. No, that's not the way it worked. George Washington in 1778 said this, "The hand of Providence has been so conspicuous in all this, the course of the war, that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith." He must be worse than an infidel who lacks faith. So when I tell you that I don't plan on being politically correct, all I have to do is quote the founding fathers, and by the way, the founding mothers too, Abigail Adams, Mercy Otis Warren, for example, great women of God at the time, and you quote them, and I bring source documents wherever that I go, and so people can have their opinion, they're all entitled to it, but they need to know what actually was said by these people, because we have revisionist historians today who are terrible traitors, and they're destroying the fabric of our country and the foundation of our country. And as you saw on this video here, and this is my favorite, thank you, Pastor, for stopping it there. Obviously, you can see why this is one of my favorites. Whoever that is looking out the window, that's me looking out the window. Declaration of American Independence, American flag, the Bible, musket, drum, sword, hatchet, all those kind of things. George Washington spoke to the United Baptist Churches of Virginia in 1789. He wasn't afraid of losing his 501c3 tax-exempt status. "If I could have entertained the slightest apprehension that the Constitution framed by the Convention, where I had the honor to preside, might possibly endanger the religious rights of any ecclesiastical society, certainly I would never have placed my signature on it." When he was talking about ecclesiastical societies, he was not talking about Muslims, he was not talking about Hindus, he was not talking about Buddhists, he was talking about the many different, if you will, stripes of Christian faith. On July 9, 1776, General George Washington summoned troops to New York, and he read the Declaration to them. Can you imagine that? I hope that the Declaration of American Independence, and I'm an Army veteran myself, would be read to every one of our troops so that they understand what we're fighting for in this country. And that's why he read it to them, because many of them had come out to fight, but they didn't totally understand what they were fighting for, and it's all right in the Declaration of American Independence. A 38-year-old king named George III ruled the largest empire that the planet Earth had ever seen. Bigger than the Roman Empire, bigger than the Greek Empire, the Persian Empire. What a daunting task, as he said to some of the people in Congress. "Are you planning on sending me an army? Because all I have here fighting 25,000 British regulars is 5,000 old men and boys." So when you talk about putting your total dependence on Almighty God, that God of the Bible, the total dependence, when they declared independence from Great Britain, they had to declare total dependence on Almighty God. So on July 4th, we celebrate one of the most solemn days in American history, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as you well know. It was a transforming moment in the history of North America, which changed the British colonies into a self-determining nation. That's one of the reasons why, for example, you will not hear me describe America as a democracy. The word does not exist in our Constitution. We have democratic principles, and we are a constitutional republic. And as Benjamin Franklin said at the Constitutional Convention, he said, "If you can keep it." And by the way, I know I'm talking very fast. I'm very passionate about what I do. Please don't accuse me of being a New Yorker. I was born in Lexington, Massachusetts. I hope you won't hold that against me, you Mainers, because remember, you were part of Massachusetts at one time also. I also have dual allegiance. I spent part of my growing up years in New Hampshire. The Live Free or Die state, you know, that marched to Bunker Hill, where I spoke a couple of weeks ago with John Stark, and they said, "What are you going at slow step, General?" Well, there was no reason for us to come here any earlier. We just waited until you were ready to get some help. And we'll help you from New Hampshire. That's the way we are. Benjamin Franklin spoke to his fellow representatives at the signing of the Declaration. He said, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately." It was true then. It's still true. The War of Independence, and you notice I don't call it the Revolutionary War necessarily. It was the War of American Independence, and I don't usually refer to the birth of America as at the signing of the Declaration of American Independence. Technically, you could say that. But I like to stay to what the document says. We are declaring our independence. That's kind of like your 18-year-old son or daughter saying, by the way, I'm an emancipated person now, Dad, Mom. I'm moving out. And hopefully they really do that when they're ready. But the issue is, really, it was the Mayflower Compact that was the birth certificate of America, and Plymouth is the birthplace of America. And I am a Mayflower descendant, and I'm glad to go there and remind people. A lot of people don't know that some of the things about the history of America. So the War of Independence marks a second stage, in a sense, although it began 15 months before the signing of the Declaration at the Battle of Lexington on April 19, 1775. It ended in 1782 with the signing of the Treaty of Paris. The third and final stage reached its conclusion when Congress ratified the Constitution in 1789, bringing it into being a new country and a new kind of government. Repeat that with me. A new kind of government. In the history of the world, a new kind of government, much more oriented towards what the Lord intended. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 8, and you'll see that kings were not God's idea. That was man's idea. They wanted to be like the countries around them. And the Lord said, they don't want me to be their king, when he told Samuel that. So the birth of liberty was really a contest of principle, and in a sense, you know, even as we were singing some of the patriotic songs, the songs we were singing, that is some... Pastor, thank you so much for picking those up. Because let me tell you something, those, if you read the words and you sing them like you really mean them, then what it says is, the war for American independence is not over yet. We have not completed our assignment, so to speak, on this earth, and perhaps we never will until Jesus comes again. But I want to tell you something. America is worth saving. Don't you let anyone tell you otherwise. America is worth saving. And why is America worth saving? Because the people in America are worth saving. People are worth saving, coming to the saving knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why we declare openly we will have no other king but King Jesus, and put our full dependency on Him. And if you didn't yesterday, please do today, because we are in desperate need in this country right now of people calling on the name of the Lord and knowing who the Lord really is. As I said, the birth of liberty was a contest of principle. We're still in that same contest today in the secular society that is being scrubbed of every moral value. They think that they're doing a favor for everybody. They're not. This is like committing suicide. The Declaration of Independence was a standard heroically waved in this war of ideas, because it annulled the idea that men were subjects to any tyrannical powers and affirmed the natural right to be self-governed. But you know, with self-government, and it goes all the way back to the Plymouth Colony, for example, when they talked about self-government, to be self-governed, if you're not going to be governed by tyrants, you must govern yourself according to the laws of God instead of your own will and your own way. Thy will be done, O Lord, not my will. We say that, of course, how often in many of our prayers. Thy will be done, Lord, not my will be done. But do we really mean it in our hearts? And the Lord knows our hearts, doesn't He? John Quincy Adams said, the tide of British rule was dissolved by one common act, the signing of that document. It made Americans into members of a distinct community in relation to each other, bound by the laws of nature and the Union. It was the opening to a new era in the science of government and the history of mankind. And the problem, as we have, I mean, I may be a Mayflower descendant, but I'm also the descendant of people who came all the way through the early 1900s, was my last ancestor that came from somewhere else. So like most of us, when they say, well, Americans, we're all immigrants. Yeah, but some of the immigrants that have come to this country wanted to become Americans from the moment they came here. And by the way, when you take the oath of office to become an American citizen, you must give up all principalities, powers, and other foreign governments. That is not being required anymore, but it should be. How can you be part of the fiber of a country if you don't even know what the country stands for, if you don't understand the principles that founded this country. And I am telling you, most assuredly, and I'm going on record yesterday, had a conversation after I did a radio broadcast in Las Vegas, Nevada. Can you believe that? They actually have a Christian radio station in Las Vegas, Nevada. Some people call that Las Vegas. And right afterwards, I called a young man and talked to him, who had been talking to another young man, and said, "Well, you know, I don't do, you know how they say, I don't do 4th of July, you know. I don't do 4th of July. Well, I don't do 4th of July either. I celebrate Independence Day. I don't do 4th of July." So I agree with him on that. But he says, "There's nothing in the Bible about patriotism." "Oh, really? Well, is there anything in the Bible about loving your mother?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, trust me, it's there. And if you loved your mother, and I don't know about some of you, but I had a mother who was very flawed. She had lots of flaws. Okay, I was her only son, her firstborn. But I loved her anyway, even with her many flaws. And America is my mother. And I love her. And I make no bones about that. And patriotism is in the Bible. I don't have time to expose every single one of the verses to you. So when somebody says something like that, please don't be afraid of saying something to them like, get out of here." You know, we say that in New England, right? Now, John Adams was our second president. He was our first vice president. They did it differently in those days. They actually, the first vote-getter got to be president, the second vote-getter got to be vice president. He said his assurance that God, whom he called Providence, was involved in human affairs led him to write the following to his wife Abigail on this day, 3rd of July, 1776, the day after delegates had agreed to the Declaration of Independence. And by the way, when you go to the Declaration of American Independence, it's 1,338 words, takes about maybe 15 minutes, if you don't talk as fast as I do, to read it, okay? When you signed the Declaration of American Independence in those days, what were you doing? I can tell you what you were doing. You were actually taking upon you an act of treason, you know? So you became famous later, but at the time it was an act of treason. 50,000 pounds or whatever it was, there's been some debate on that, was put on John Hancock's head the moment that he signed it, and he said he was glad of that, okay? Does anybody know what kind of a pen they signed it with? You folks over here should probably know it. Here it is right here. It was a turkey feather. A wild turkey feather. And by the way, the turkey almost became our national emblem, but they decided against it. So in signing this declaration, what they were doing was they were signing their name as an act of treason, which was going to probably mean their death. And many of them did die. See? And everyone that signed it, including John Witherspoon, you especially need to remember this. John Witherspoon signed it. He said, "If I thought in any way, shape, or form that this Declaration of American Independence was an unchristian thing to do, or in the War for Independence was an unchristian thing to do, I would kill this revolution in its infancy." That's what they said. Okay, and I'm not doing harm to the communion table. Lord's table to put that there. And by the way, the first place that the Declaration was read was in the church. And don't be surprised that they did have muskets and so forth and so on, because they didn't know when the British would come and interrupt their worship services. They did that. The British many times attacked on Sunday, which we know as American Christians is considered the American Sabbath. They attacked on Sundays. They disturbed the house of worship. They burned the house of worship down in many places and so forth and so on, because they considered we colonists to be nothing short of devils. Okay? Because how dare we go against the King of England? How dare we go against the Church of England? See? "It's the will of heaven that the two countries, Britain and the United States, should be surrendered and sundered forever. It will be the will of heaven that America shall suffer calamities still more wasting and distress, yet more dreadful. If this is to be the case, it will have this good effect at least. It will inspire us with many virtues, which we have not, and correct many errors, follies, and vices which threaten to disturb, dishonor, and destroy us. The furnace of affliction produces refinement in states as well as individuals. That is a Christian truth. As we would quote something like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that says, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And so once again, I remind us that this becomes a total dependency, declaration, happy total dependency day, because the more that you move away from tyranny, the more you move away from civil government, the closer you must get to the Lord's government. One of our great rear admirals in the Navy was a naval historian named Samuel Eliot Morrison, said that if the American Revolution had produced nothing but the Declaration of Independence, it would have been worthwhile. The beauty and cogency of the preamble, reaching back to the remotest antiquity and forward to an infinite future, having lifted the hearts of millions of men and will continue to do. These words are more revolutionary than anything written by Robespierre, Marx, or Lenin, more explosive than the atom, a continual challenge to ourselves as well as an inspiration to the oppressed of all the world. That man cited in just a few sentences that our founding fathers looked back into history all the way back to common law with Alfred, the King Alfred in England in the 9th century, the Magna Carta in the 13th century, other things like that. And of course, he was familiar with how many people will say, well, the American Revolution, that wasn't any different than the French Revolution. Not. Definitely different. Definitely different than what Marx was saying. Definitely different than Lenin was saying. And as I said, and he's put it here, more explosive than the atom, a continual challenge to ourselves, and I stand challenged before you today, as well as an inspiration to the oppressed of all the world. And people have come who have been oppressed throughout all the world. I stand on Lexington Green very frequently. We were there a couple of weeks ago and did a video there. And people come from all over the world. It's like they're coming, and I mean no disrespect by saying this, it's like they're coming to Jerusalem. They're coming to a holy place, only to find out that it's not nearly as holy as it once was. And so a lot of times standing there, I talk to people from all over the world, and they think, just remember what happened in Tiananmen Square years ago, when the Chinese rolled tanks over their own people, and what were the people holding up? The Liberty Bell that has scripture from Leviticus on it, or the Statue of American Liberty. Even to this day, there are people across the world that still look to us with the hope that it's possible that a person could be free and could be self-governed and could get out from underneath tyranny and oppression. And I haven't given up that belief, and I'm continuing to work for it regardless. Our 40th president, by the way, there's going to be a test afterwards, isn't there, Pastor? 40th president, who knows who that was? Ronald Wilson Reagan said it was the greatest revolution ever in the history of the world. So, when the young man said, I don't do the 4th of July. Okay, don't do the 4th of July. Do a celebration of American Independence Day. Fisher Ames, great American statesman, orator, political writer, was participating in the writing of the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment in particular. Liberty is not to be enjoyed, indeed it cannot exist without the habits of just subordination. It consists not so much in removing all restraint from the orderly as in imposing it on the violent. I try to tell people, I am not some disorderly rebel, just like reading the scriptures from Acts chapter 5. I believe in giving my total obedience to the Lord, and God's law rules. Now we know that the Constitution of the United States is called the supreme law of the land. But it doesn't supersede and does not trump God's law. The Bible is God's word, and it is the law of God, and it is over all things because Jesus Christ is not only Lord of America, He's Lord of all the world, right? He's not just coming for us. But what do we mean by the American Revolution? Do we mean the American War? The Revolution was effected before the war commenced. The Revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments, of their duties and obligations. This radical change in the principles, opinions, sentiments, and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. And that was said by John Adams. There are people who just want to delete what I'm saying. I've got lots of people be glad to delete what I'm saying. Why? Because I'm bringing true history and they're offended by it. Just because you're offended by the history, we've got people today, and I said revisionist historians, they want to go back and scrub what happened, take it out, because they're offended by it today. You do not have the right to do that. Just because you don't believe the Bible does not mean you should try to change it. You don't have to believe it. You'll pay the price for not believing it, but you don't have to believe it. We're not going to force it on you. Just the same as if you want to be an American, you're born here. I guess you don't have to really believe in everything Americans believe in, but don't go out and try to change the history, because what you're doing is you're robbing not only yourself, but you're robbing posterity. I try to bring my grandson to many of these things and engage him, put a little tricorn hat on, have him carry that flag and so forth. He's my posterity. In fact, I look at all children as my posterity, and I hope and pray all of you do the same thing, because we don't want them robbed. There's no better system of government that the world has ever known except this constitutional republic. There is no better one on this earth. When we're in heaven with Jesus, you'll find a better government, and it's perfect. But on this earth, we have flaws. It's a fallen world. We understand that. Now, just for a moment, what kind of men were these 56 signers who adopted the Declaration of Independence and who, by their signing, committed an act of treason against the crown, like I said? And here, of course, we've been told that they were just a bunch of white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, wealthy people and whatever else, and we don't have to listen to them. Well, let me tell you something. We had a lot of American Indians that fought for freedom, great patriots. We had a lot of blacks that were great patriots and so forth. It was not a color of skin issue. And yes, many of them have signed. And by the way, for all the women out there, particularly radical feminists, well, it's not a valid document because no women signed it. Well, let me tell you why they didn't. It's because, first of all, they did not want their wives hung for treason. They said, we'll take the hit. We'll defend our families, our wives, our children, and protect them. We'll take the hit if need be. That's the reason. Not because they denigrated women or didn't believe in their importance. They did. Okay? With only a few exceptions, such as Samuel Adams of Massachusetts, these were men of substantial property. All but two had families. The vast majority were men of education and standing in their communities. They had economic security as few men had in the 18th century. So don't get in your mind what the radical revisionists will say, that in signing the Declaration of American Independence, because they were going to get something good out of that. That's not true. These men knew what they risked. The penalty for treason was death by hanging. Now, have you ever wondered what happened to some of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence? Well, let me tell you. Richard Stockton, who was a judge, was taken prisoner for signing the Declaration, imprisoned in the New York City's infamous Provost Jail, which it used to be a church before that they actually took and put him in that. They turned a church into a jail. He was marched naked in chains from Princeton, New Jersey, all the way to New York. John Witherspoon saw his eldest son, James, killed during the Battle of Germantown. A number of signers saw their homes and property taken, looted, and destroyed by the British. Philip Livingston sacrificed what was left of his wealth to support the war effort and likely died penniless. And Father, we stop at this moment and commend into your care this woman and whatever that her needs are. We thank you, Jesus, for touching her, helping her. Praise you, Jesus, the great physician. Thank you, Lord. Philip Livingston sacrificed what was left of his wealth to support the war effort and likely died penniless. Abraham Clark saw two of his sons captured by the British and incarcerated on the prison ship Jersey with little hope of surviving. Francis Lewis's estate was raided by the British and his wife was taken prisoner. John Hart's farm was also raided and he spent time surviving in the woods. So think about everything you own and your personal relationships, and imagine losing most, if not all, of them. This is a sacrifice these men had to take in defense of liberty when they signed this document. That's what they were willing to do. And I want to tell you something. Today, the Patriot pastor, Garrett Lear, goes on record if this document was brought here today, I would sign it very gladly today. I would be honored to sign it knowing what it would mean, because I believe that this document, though it's not equal to the Bible, is one of the finest documents in the world. And I have been in other places of the world where people have said, oh, in our country, if we could only have a Declaration of American Independence like you Americans have had for 239 years, or a Constitution of the United States of America like you folks have had all these years. That's what they've told me. But here in America, most people don't even have 15 minutes to read it. And I asked yesterday of the young man, have you read the Declaration of American Independence? And did you ask this person who told you they don't do 4th of July, have you read it? Has he read it? Well, I read parts of it. What part have you read? What can you quote back to me? Like certain inalienable rights that we have been bestowed, endowed by our Creator. Can you remember that part? Or how about at the end of the document that says that we are trusting completely in the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions? Now that's 18th century language of saying, Jesus, Jesus, I'm putting myself in your hands, O Lord. That's 18th century language for that. So all those things that happened to them, how many Americans today are completely clueless about the American War for Independence and why we celebrate Independence Day? And why it is really a total dependence day. We can do something about that, folks. Every one of you in here, and by the way, I am a senior citizen myself. I can get into national parks because I have the card that you pay $10 for. And by the way, in the glorious state of New Hampshire, I don't even have to pay to park in the beach park because I'm a senior citizen. See? I'm well over 65. I get to do that. Well, I want to dedicate all the days of my life, and I'm calling all of you gray hairs and all of you white hairs that are in here today to do this too. You can remember these things. If you can't remember them, get some of the books, the booklets, and read from them and challenge your neighbors, challenge your grandchildren. Okay, they're going to say, Grandma, I don't care about that. Do you want dessert tonight, little boy? You will listen to the Declaration of American Independence, or there ain't no dessert. Excuse me for the improper English. 42-year-old signer Thomas McKean wrote that he was hunted like a fox by the enemy, compelled to remove his family 5 times in 3 months. Oh, how blessed we've been in America. It's not just praying, God bless America. God has blessed America. And oh, we believe that the blessing of the Lord would continue. So important. 41-year-old John Adams wrote to his wife on the Declaration, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as a great anniversary festival. Now listen to this. I'm not against fireworks. We actually blew some off in our backyard last night. I'm not against the parades and everything. I mean, I've marched for years in American Legion parades and all those kind of things. I'm chaplain for the National Society Sons of the American Revolution. Marched in those parades. And yes, I still can march in parades, carrying the musket, firing the musket. Not as embarrassingly as today, but other days. Listen to this. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, vessels, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. Okay, we got all that right yesterday, except one thing. It was not commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God, but we're taking care of that today, aren't we? You can say amen. A loud amen would really be enthusiastic. Go ahead. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's it. They risked everything they had for a principle, and many of them eventually suffered enormously, including death. It makes us seem pretty pathetic in comparison. I think of this a lot when people talk to me about how brave I am for simply doing what we all ought to be doing. And by the way, when you read, for example, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, about our reasonable service, I don't even feel that I've gotten there yet. And yes, I have served a long, long time, the Lord and this country, and I'm glad to do it, but I don't feel like I've gotten to my reasonable service. And maybe the Lord doesn't ever want us to feel that we've gotten to our reasonable service, because then we give up and spend more time, okay, I'm going to really get in trouble now, more time in the golf course than we do in the intercourse of life with people. And I'm not against golf. Golf was good to me. On this Independence Day, let us all renew ourselves for what? The battle at hand. And by the way, have you found out? It's not a playground out there, is it? It's a battlefield. I can tell you in my lifetime that things have changed immensely. I told my grandson that last night. We were talking how many things have changed so immensely in my lifetime, and not for the better. Oh, yes, we can communicate better. I don't have to worry about Aunt Ruth listening to my phone call on our party line, picking up the phone when I'm talking to my friends. Now, I guess we have everybody in the world listening to our phone calls instead. At least it was only Aunt Ruth, and I knew she was there. So we have some technology that has advanced us in many ways, but you know something? The heart of man is still deceitfully wicked, and no man knows his own heart. Scripture says that. We still need Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we still have to rely on Him. Our country was founded on principled resistance against tyranny by revolutionaries who wanted a nation where, as written in the Declaration of Independence, citizens are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these, not exclusively these, we have many more rights by God. And by the way, if you ask, we'll go out in the street here in Berwick, right on School Street, excuse me, sir, I'd like to ask you, where do your rights come from? Well, from Augusta. Oh, from Washington. Sir, I'm sorry, you just got an F. You failed. Your rights come from Almighty God. They're unalienable or inalienable. We don't get into that. John Adams, he was Harvard. Thomas Jefferson, he was William and Mary, first school, second school. They argued back and forth, doesn't make any difference. You can't give them away, and they don't come from the government, they come from God. Remember that, say that. My rights come from God. My rights come from God. Whew! I'm in amongst a whole lot of politically incorrect people. Boy, do I feel comfortable now. Principle of resistance to tyranny is as American as apple pie. And I really like apple pie. Did anybody bring apple pie? Too early for the apples. A New England pastor, Nathaniel Whitaker, preached a stirring message before the outbreak of the Revolutionary War. He said, "We sin against God and nature when we tamely resign our rights to tyrants or quietly submit to public oppressors if it be in our power to defend ourselves." The original proposed Great Seal of the United States bore the words, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God." Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal, but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. I would agree with St. Augustine that an unjust law is no law at all. So today we face unjust laws. Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "Three generations of imbeciles are enough." Thus upholding Virginia's eugenics law that permitted forced sterilization. Sadly, that case, Buck versus Bell, was cited in the Nuremberg trials in support of Hitler's eugenics program. What is the proper response when the laws of a governing authority collide with the laws of God? What a just and what must a believer do when the revealed or natural law commands a clear response and one's governing authority commands the opposite? I believe there's only one choice. The believer must remain obedient to God and to His higher law. Someone has stolen my country. I didn't give her away. I didn't sell her. And I want her back. And I want her back now. The pastor had asked me if I would bring some historical Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Lord's Table, whatever terminology you use, from colonial times. I do a lot of research in such things. And so I brought some things along for us to have the Lord's Supper together today, which, of course, as we go back to the early New Testament church, was something they did very frequently. And I am praying that across this nation, regardless of what denominational leaning the people have, that true Christians in America will join together. And in the words of Benjamin Franklin, who was a lot better Christian than some people think he was, we're either going to hang together or we're going to hang separately. And I brought something with me that I want to present to your pastor because, quite honestly, I'm very thankful to be here in Berwick. And by the way, I've been told that there are more Revolutionary War soldiers buried in the Berwick area. There's about 150 buried here. So this part of Maine sent a lot of people into the war for American independence. And as a son of the American Revolution, I'm very proud to be in the town and thankful to your pastor that he called me up, put my name on the sign out there and endangered his life. Made himself a friend of many and an enemy of others. And I have brought with me to present to your pastor, Skip Smith, this book, The Battle of Lexington. In it is some of the best theology I've ever read in my life. It's the actual account of what was happening at the time in America, where actually Jonas Clark said, "I think that judgment is upon us and that the Lord is using the British crown to bring judgment on us." But they're being merciless and oppressive. And by the way, did you know that 13,000 more people died in the prison ship Jersey at the hands of the British than died on the battlefield? That's how mean and cruel they were. And he said this, "When we repent," in fact, he mentioned 2 Chronicles 7:14. I hope most of you know that. I hope you can quote it. It says, if you do it in the King James translation, for example, "If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear their prayers from heaven, then will I heal their land." That's the Lord's promise, and I have never known the Lord to ever break his promise. So I wanted to present this, and by the way, there are over 100 affidavits in government in Massachusetts proving that the British regulars fired on us. We did not fire on them. Say that with me. We did not fire on them. They fired on us. Now, if you go to England, they may tell you a different story. But I want to tell you, we've got affidavits from 100 witnesses who are unimpeachable as their testimony, including this pastor. So I want to present this to you, Pastor Skip.
Thank you.
So, you know, I want to thank Pastor Lear, also known as the Patriot Pastor, for his time here with us. And I'm happy that he and his family are here to celebrate our independence, but more importantly, celebrate our dependence on God and on Christ our King. I invite you now to please stand as you are able. And before we begin this Kim, many of you saw the hubbub that just took place. Some of you know Ann Kimball, who's been a longtime member here. And she had a little medical issue. We're not quite sure what. She is coherent. She is breathing. And her and I were talking about if she leaves now, I won't get paid this Sunday. So I trust and pray that she is with God and he with her. So if we could just pray for just a moment, especially for Anne.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have blessed us with. And we give you thanks for the blessing of Anne Kimball. And we just pray right now that whatever you have going on and whatever she is dealing with, that like all things, you will help her through her faith. Give her strength, give her courage, be with her medical team, the folks driving the ambulance, and may they help her to be strengthened and comforted and know your loving grace and your loving touch. Amen.